Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. As we know, FedNow has been a game changer in the world of instant payments, enabling businesses and consumers to access their funds in real time. However, for banks and PSPs looking to provide this service, there are significant operational challenges to navigate. Today, we're going to be discussing some crucial measures that institutions should consider to ensure their operational costs are as low as possible. With me today is Nick Botha, Global Payment Sales Manager at Autorec, and Luisa Tavilla, Director of Debit and Javelin Strategy and Research. Thank you both for joining us today. Nick, to start things off, keeping operational costs down is certainly top of mind for many banks and PSPs at the moment. What measures should banks and PSPs who want to offer FedNow payments take to ensure that their costs are as low as possible so that they can offer FedNow payments at competitive rates?
What instant payments basically means is that we can expect more volume from the nature of these payments. So companies can expect higher volume more rapidly. So what that means is more volume requires a level of automation to create these operational efficiencies within their business. Legacy-based operational flows and BAU activities don't align to what the requirements for instant payments look like. Therefore, these operational efficiencies, if they could be created, downstream drive down operational costs, and this helps keep wider margins if you look on a per transaction basis at lower cost to their clients. You can actually charge less to the end consumer if you are able to reduce these operational costs. I think something else to mention there as well is that with this new payment rail, you can expect more competition to enter the market. And typically when we see more competition, you should expect there to be pressure on those costs, which essentially means that there's more requirement for creating those operational efficiencies to try and expand those margins as wide as possible.
Nick, I think you bring up some very good points. I agree that reducing manual components of the operation is key. Automation certainly helps create greater efficiencies and can reduce errors that are created with paperwork or other non-digital methods. I think this is a great opportunity with FedNow for businesses and operations to improve automation. This is the first time in 40 years we have this new rail and this new technology, especially in the payments industry. I mean, prior to this, most of the systems were created before internet was widely available, and certainly the digital economy didn't exist. So I think you're spot on with the points that you mentioned about the importance of reducing manual operations and in turn helping to reduce costs.
How can operations utilize automation to mitigate the challenges of the 24/7 settlement that will come with FedNow payments?
So this is one of probably the biggest considerations, I would say, when it comes to, you know, adopting this new payment method. Payment operations flows traditionally been designed for more traditional payment rails. And inherently, that means that they're not designed to be instant. So this really means that organizations typically would have bulk and net settlement activity that happens set times during the day or week and sometimes even months. It has been spoken to clients within the industry, and they're actually performing some of these activities month by month rather than more real time. So I think companies onboarding FedNow payment rails will need their operational flows to match the nature of what the payments are to ensure a couple things. I think one of the main things is to ensure customer adoption, right? You need to create that confidence in what has been adopted more widely and to help create that fast adoption across the market by creating trust in what the process is. And the second thing is to match your customer expectations. If customers are making payments in real time and there's any issues or discrepancies, they want to know the results of those in the same nature of what the payments are taking place. So absolutely, if you're looking at operational flows, a good example of this would be like reconciliation, for example. I deal really closely with organizations around reconciliation, and companies cannot expect to be successful with FedNow if they are trying to reconcile their payments on a T+1, T+2 basis when the nature of the payments are flowing through 24/7. So that is one of probably the largest elements that organizations are speaking with us at the moment about.
As Nick noted, FedNow is new and different to most of the other payment systems we have with real-time gross settlement. It operates 24/7, 365 with no downtime, unlike, say, ACH, where the payments are transmitted on a batch basis and during business hours, which offers many new possibilities and features for businesses and operations to take advantage of. There's greater flexibility, there's more control and visibility over the status of each component of the process. But it is very important, as Nick noted, to make sure that your other systems that plug into this real-time payment system, FedNow, is able to operate and function on the same instant and real-time nature.
Nick, treasury teams play an essential role in payment operations at banks, PSPs, by ensuring that liquidity is available to settle payments in their defined settled windows. FedNow instant payments will require this liquidity to be available 24/7. So what measures can be taken so that liquidity risk can be managed effectively?
So treasury teams, they are quite concerned around operational and liquidity risk. If treasury teams are reliant on legacy platforms or processes for their reporting requirements, they may be exposing themselves to more operational risk with the instant payment 24/7 settlement of these payments. So an effective way of looking at this would probably be to deploy automated reconciliation and automated reporting solutions with real-time reporting capability. It's important to note that the reporting capability also needs to reflect a real-time nature. If you have one element of that is looking at real-time, but one isn't, for example, if you're automating your reconciliations, but the MI and the reporting that sits off the back of that isn't the same, it could cause a bit more risk around your operational and liquidity risk. In essence, treasury teams would want to have a continuous real-time view of liquidity positions, which would allow them to manage their BAU risk more effectively. This can also in turn have quite a positive impact on regulatory and audit responsibilities too. We're seeing a lot of geographies around the world adopt safeguarding principles, which are predominantly looked at within the UK and the EU, but also more widely now, you know, the likes of Canada, likes of Singapore, the Middle East as an example, just some of the organizations I've spoke to. And a lot of firms are actually adopting this idea of safeguarding principles as a best in practice approach to analyzing their client funds and ensuring that their clients' funds are looked after to make sure that in events of insolvency, as an example, that their clients are looked after. So that could also have a positive impact on that regulatory pressure that could come down the road, as well as any audit responsibilities that the organization has.
Thanks. Nick, from a data capacity point of view, at peak times for payment volumes such as Black Friday or the Christmas run-up, should banks and PSPs be considering options for cloud hosting?
Absolutely. I think we've already spoken about how we can expect higher volumes more generally with FedNow payments. However, you know, when it does get to those peak days, i.e., you know, Black, you mentioned then Black Friday, Christmas, these wider events, we're definitely seeing very high spikes in the volumes that you're handling. And I think just to let you know, we've seen this happen within jurisdictions where instant payments are live and successful, such as India and UK and Brazil, Europe with SEPA Instant now. So we definitely do see those spikes at a much, much larger significant level. Modern technology platforms that have the option to be hosted via a cloud are an effective way to reduce any risk around shortfalls or any errors within your infrastructure setup. Another thing to note there as well is that it's also a more cost-effective way for businesses to host their infrastructure with these multi-tenanted environments that these large cloud providers have to offer. It means that you actually pay for the space that you're requiring without having to provision for these huge spikes well in advance. So it is actually also a more cost-effective way for organizations to be looking to host their system infrastructure.
Those are all valid points. Similar to being able to match your operations with the always-on 24/7 nature of FedNow, I think also being prepared to accommodate the large volumes during peak times like the examples we noted, like Black Friday or Christmas, where transaction volume could be higher, that's certainly key to ensure a successful and cost-efficient implementation of a system like FedNow.
We delved into a lot so far, including how to keep operational costs down and leveraging automation to mitigate challenges. If you can leave the audience with some final thoughts, what would they be? Alisa, I'll start with you.
Sure. I think with a new system like FedNow, an instant payment certainly provides a lot of potential for businesses as well as their customers, in particular in improving efficiency, whether it's through automation, digitization, reduction of manual processes, and also from a data capacity perspective, as Nick noted, by using cloud technology that increases capacity for businesses as well as other players. But it is important to have all parts of your business and components lined up and prepared to accommodate this new always-on nature of the business, as well as be prepared for higher volumes as well.
I think Alisa summed it up really nicely. I do think if we look back the payments landscape from a good 10, 15 years ago, in those times, we were seeing a lot of organizations look at the opportunities that this creates for the front office, you know, new product lines, new entrants into the market, potential partnerships. I would caution that with something like this, or definitely suggest that organizations are looking to set themselves up within the middle and back office, not just on their technology side, but processes, their way of working. And that's just in addition to what Alisa just mentioned there. The other thing is that I, through having discussions with a lot of different industry players, leveraging off real good partnerships from a technology perspective, but also just from different geographies of businesses of a similar nature, how they've been able to adopt instant payment rails successfully, what are the measures that they've taken in place, how do they build trust within the market. I would definitely suggest opening the discussion, having conversations with all different actors within, you know, the payment space within these geographies to really build that trust within the US markets with regard to FedNow payments.
Nick and Alisa, thank you so much again for your valuable insights on this ever-evolving landscape of instant payments. And thanks to everyone for tuning in today. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated on the latest Payments Journal episodes. And don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues.